You're listening to How to Win with Mike Moore, the podcast that provides you with practical insights on how to win in every arena of life.
God wants His people to prosper, and I believe that He's anointed me to help you to prosper, to go from one level to another level all year. And we're going to break poverty and lack and scarcity, unfulfilled desire over your life. It's going to take you to another level of abundance in God. Come on, take this journey with me. How to Win Our Prosperity Edition 2024.
Are you ready to break free from the chains of anxiety, stress, and depression? Mike Moore, author and founding pastor of Faith Chapel and host of the How to Win podcast, is here with his new book, Help, My Mind is Under Attack. Learn how to overcome attacks on your mind and live an emotionally healthy life. Grab your copy now, available as ebook on Amazon and paperback on MikeMoore.com. Embark on your journey to complete mental health and emotional peace.
Hello, I'm Mike Moore, and welcome to the How to Win podcast. These podcasts are based off 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. It says, now thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. Listen, I'm so glad to have you today with How to Win. I'm in my leadership edition of the How to Win podcast, and I began a series on a subject that I call my favorite series on the area of divine prosperity, and that is the God of Abundance. We're in lesson 8 in a 8-lesson series. So this is our last lesson. It's our last lesson, but it's been wonderful. I've enjoyed the journey with you, and we're going to wrap this thing up today, and I believe it's going to really bless you. Now, remember in our 7th episode, lesson 7, I was talking about a lack mentality, and I was talking about five manifestations of a lack mentality. And in that last lesson, we covered 4. We did not get to the 5th one. And I said on that episode that I'll do it in my next lesson. So it may seem a little strange to your mind, but I am going to hook this 5th manifestation of a lack mentality in this lesson. But I'm not going to start off by talking about it, okay? I'm gonna talk about it, and then I'll wrap it around. And I actually think it may even fit better in this lesson. So you'll get it if you will follow along and you've been meditating on it and you're waiting on that 5th manifestation. We'll hit it in this episode. Each one of these episodes, we've had a subtopic. And in this episode, this final lesson, lesson 8, I want to talk from the subject, God can afford it. God can afford it. Just 4 words. God can afford it. Come on, say that. God can afford it. Say it one more time. God can afford it. Write it in the chat. Write it in the chat right now. God can afford it. I want that to be resonating throughout your thinking, that God can afford it. God can afford it. I want you to believe with me that God can afford it. Yes, He can. Yes, He can. That's what I want to leave on your thinking in this last episode, that God can afford it. The Bible teaches that it is possible to limit God. Now, we've learned that God's nature is abundance. His capacity is limitless. He has limited power, limited provisions. But the scripture teaches that God can be limited. In Psalm 78:41, I'm going to read it to you in the Passion Translation, Psalm 78:41, and we're going to see that Israel in the wilderness limited God. It says again and again, they limited God, preventing him from blessing them. That is so amazing. So amazing. We're getting back to man's responsibility. We talked about that in a prior episode. You see, we can limit God. We can prevent him from blessing us. Now, the truth of the matter is, he's already blessed us in spiritual places. In the spirit realm, it's already done. God has blessed us, Ephesians 1:3, with all spiritual blessings. But in our lives, we can actually limit the flow of blessings to us. We can actually prevent him from causing a manifestation of his blessings in our lives. We see it again and again. They limited God, preventing him from blessing them. You see, God can be limited by our small vision, our low expectation, our contradictory words, our contagious unbelief, and our unrenewed mind. I'm going to say that again. God can be limited by our small vision, low expectation, contradictory words, contagious unbelief, and unrenewed mind. Even in his hometown, Jesus wanted to do more than what he did. I said in his hometown, Nazareth, Jesus wanted to do more than he did. In the Message Bible, Mark 6:5, it says Jesus wasn't able to do much of anything there. He laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. That's all. Jesus was limited in his hometown. He wanted to do more in his hometown. But their small vision, their low expectation, their contradictory words, their contagious unbelief, their unrenewed mind limited God. Don't limit God. I said, don't limit God. Say that. Say this, I will not limit God. Come on, say that. I will not limit God. Now say this, God can afford it. Come on, say that. God can afford it. Come on, close your eyes and just think about what you're saying. Think about what you're saying. God can afford it. Meditate on that, those four words. God can afford it. Now, here's a powerful statement that I want to share with you, and then I'm going to give you some proof texts. If you can believe for it, God can afford it. If you can believe for it, God can afford it. That's tweetable there. Oh, yes. Yes. I think you ought to tweet that out. I mean, you should put that on social media. If you can believe for it, God can afford it. If you can believe for it, God can afford it. If you can believe for it, God can afford it. Can you believe for it? No, I didn't say that you desire it. I didn't say that you want it. I'm asking you a question. Can you believe for it? Because if you can believe for it, God can afford it. Sound like what Jesus said, remember? If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. If you can believe for it, God can afford it. We're talking about God can afford it in this last episode. Haggai chapter 2, verse 8 lets us know that God can afford it. God said of himself, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. This is what God said. God said, I can afford it because the silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord. Here God describes or declares, pardon me, here God declares that he is the creator and the owner of the earth resources, all of the earth resources, all of the earth material resources. God said that silver is mine, the gold is mine, and what he's saying to us, he can't afford it. In Ephesians 3:20, let's look again at the Passion Translation. It says, never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and to accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. Let me read that to you again. This is Ephesians 3:20 in the Passion Translation, and we're talking from the subject, God can afford it. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. What a powerful text. Yes, if you can believe for it, God can afford it. Remember in one of our episodes, we said and looked at the scripture, God made Solomon a trillionaire. If God can make Solomon a trillionaire, surely he can bless you. Surely he can bless me. You see, God is not struggling. You may be struggling. You may be wondering, but God is not thinking, how will we pay this bill? How will we finance this church? How will we underwrite this business? God is not trying to figure it out. God can afford it. Say that. Say it. Say it. God can afford it. Now, let's look at people who did what they could not afford to do. We're going to look at three proof texts of people who did what they could not afford to do. The first proof text, we'll look at the widow of Zarephath. It's found in 1 Kings 17, chapter 17, verse 12. We'll look at it in the New Living Translation. The prophet Elijah had gone to Zarephath during a time of famine, and God had said to him, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain you. So he went to Zarephath. Elijah went to Zarephath, and he saw this widow. She was gathering sticks, just her last meal. She's going to cook it for her and her son, and they're going to eat it and die. So Elijah said, go and make me a little cake, a little pancake first. And here's what she said. I swear by the Lord, your God, I don't have a single piece of bread in the house, and I only have a handful of flour left in a jar and a little cooking oil in the bottom of the jug. She said, I can't afford to give you anything, preacher. I can't afford to give you even a pancake. I can't afford to give you a patty. I can't afford that. I can't afford that. She could not afford a morsel of bread, just a little piece of bread. She could not afford it, but God could afford what she couldn't. God could afford what she couldn't, and God can afford what you can't afford. 1 Kings 17, 15 in the New Living Translation says she went out and she did it. And she did as Elijah said. And she and Elijah and her family continued to eat for many days, months. They ate for months off a little flour in a jar, a little oil. And she just kept baking food from it. It kept multiplying because God can afford what we can't. She couldn't afford it. She couldn't afford to do that. She couldn't afford to give, but God could. So God enabled her to do what she couldn't afford to do. Let's look at another proof text. This proof text is about a widow of a deceased husband, and the husband was a prophet. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 in the New Living Translation. I'll give you the context. This precious woman's husband was a prophet. This woman's husband was a prophet who served under Elisha, a disciple of Elisha. This prophet loved God, reverenced God, but he died and left his wife and family in debt. And in those days, the creditors would take family members or the children and make them serve. They became slaves, as it were, to pay the debt, to pay out the debt through their service. So this woman's husband died. In those days, the husband was what we would call the sole provider of the house. The women under this culture, patriarchal culture, worked in the home, didn't work outside. So the husband was the principal breadwinner. He was the main income earner. So he's died, left the family in debt. She's in trouble. Creditors knocking at the door. So she goes to the prophet Elijah and says, listen, I got a problem here. I need some direction. I need some guidance, man of God. And she says, now, you know my husband. You know how he feared God. He reverenced God. He loved God. He served you. You meant to coach him. And he died and left us in debt. Now, the creditors at the door, they want to take my two sons and they want to cause them to be in servitude. What should I do? And the man of God, Elijah, asked her a question. What do you have in your house? That's what God is saying to you. What do you have in your house? She said, I got just a little pot of oil. That's all I got in my house. He said, okay, we can work with that. We can work with that. Here's what I want you to do, woman of God. He said, I want you to now go to your neighbors and borrow vessels. Borrow vessels. And don't borrow a few. Just borrow vessels. Borrow vessels. Don't borrow just a few. Borrow vessels. And then once you borrow the vessels, I want you to come home, shut the door, and I want you to pour into those vessels, that little pot of oil you have, I want you to pour in the vessels, and you'll see what happened. So she went out and borrowed the vessels, and she came back, and she went, and she poured in those vessels, and filled that one, and went to another, and filled it, and filled all over the room. She filled the vessels, and then when she came to the last vessel, she filled it, and there were no more vessels, and the oil stopped flowing. She went back to the man of God, and he said, now, here's what you do. Sell the oil, pay your debt, and then live off the rest. That's the story. So she could not, according to 2 Kings 4 and 1, she could not afford to pay off the debt because her husband had died. He was the chief bread earner. He had died. She couldn't afford it. She couldn't afford it. She had a debt, but she couldn't afford it. Now, listen at this. But God could afford what she couldn't. Oh, you're getting this. God could afford what she couldn't. In 2 Kings 4:7, I quote what happened. I just told you what happened. Now sell the oil, pay your debts, and you and your son can live off what is left over. Notice, she couldn't afford it, but God could afford it, and God helped her to afford what she couldn't afford. Because, see, God can afford it. Let's look at our final proof text. We'll look now at the churches of Macedonia. You'll find this over in 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. The Bible says in the second verse, I read it from the traditional King James Version. It says, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded to the riches of their liberality. Now, if you read the first verse, it says Paul is bragging on the grace that God placed on this church, grace that God placed on this church. Then he describes the situation that they were in. They were in a great trial of affliction. Great trial of affliction. There was tremendous persecution. These was young believers in a Gentile environment. They had come into the knowledge of Jesus, embraced Jesus, and they were going through great persecution. But yet the scripture says they had an abundance of joy. It also says that they were in deep poverty, down to the bottom poverty. Now, in those days, especially in the days of the early church, most of the people in those Gentile worlds were idol worshipers. Some even worked creating and building idols. Once they received Jesus, in some cases, they had to renounce idolatry and renounce that. And some of them lost their jobs. Some of them were fired from their jobs because they accepted Christ. So they were dealing with financial problems because, not because it was God's will, but for their stand for Christ. So this group of people in these churches were experiencing what the Bible calls deep poverty. And yet it says that they abounded to the riches of their liberality. So these Christians in Macedonia could not afford to give. They couldn't afford it. When they looked at the income, they were down in the pocket. They didn't have any income. Some of them was unemployed. So they could not afford to give. But God could afford what they couldn't afford. Oh, listen at that. So the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3, and I read it in the Common English Bible. It says, I assure you that they gave what they could afford and even more than they could afford. They did it voluntarily. And when you read it in the New Living Translation, it says, for I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. So how is it that people could give what they couldn't afford? Now, the Bible said they was in deep poverty, but not only did they give, they gave beyond what they could afford. Why? Because they tapped into the grace of God, and the grace of God gave them the capacity to give beyond what they could afford. Now, God can afford it. And we've shown you three separate examples of God causing people to afford what they couldn't afford because they embrace God, and in any situation, God can afford it. Now, as we begin to wrap this up, remember I said that we were going to go back and talk about what we did not finish in our second episode, and this is the perfect time to do it. In episode 7, we talked about a lack mentality. In this episode, we're talking about God can afford it. Okay, let's connect the two. In a lack mentality, we said that there are five manifestations of a lack mentality: fatalism, a fatalistic mentality, a victim mentality, we talked about it, a constraint mentality, we talked about it, a waste mentality, we talked about it. Fatalistic mentality says it is what it is. This is the place God put me in. I have no power to change it. He doesn't want me to change it. A victim mentality blames others. The reason I'm in the position that I'm in is because of my daddy, because of this race of people, because of that. It's blaming others. A constraint mentality is selling for better and not choosing God's best. A constraint mentality says either I can have or give, or I can give and not have, but I can't do both. And then a waste mentality says, man, them luxuries, it doesn't take all that. I don't need to ride first class. Listen, the back of the plane going to get there at the same time as the front of the plane. That's a waste of money. All that expensive stuff, that's a waste of money. All that's not necessarily. See, a waste mentality says that a luxury is a waste. And then the area that I did not talk about was a complacency mentality. And even if God can't afford it, and that's what we've been talking about, if we have a complacency mentality, then it will shut down the power of God for causing us to operate in this fullness that God wants us to have, abundance. The church at Laodicea in Revelation 3:17 had a complacency mentality. They said, I'm rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wrenched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I just read from you the Revelation 3:17 in the New Living Translation. They had a complacency mentality. Some Christians confuse complacency with contentment. Complacency and contentment are not the same. Let's look at complacency. Complacency is a feeling of being satisfied with how things are, not wanting to improve or advance. I got that little house paid off. I ain't going to try to get no better house. I'm on paid. See, that's a person that's satisfied. They think that they got to stay right here because they paid it, that little thing off, and they don't want, I don't want no more pressure on myself. We're not talking about pressure on you. We're talking about the God of abundance. Now, biblical contentment is not complacency. It means to be independent of outward, external, or natural circumstances. Let's look at some scriptures that people base complacency on. They don't understand what the word contentment means. In Hebrews 13:5, I'm reading these scriptures from the New King James Version. It says, be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. See that, Pastor Mike? See that, Mike? The word says that we're to be content with such things that we have. Yes, it does say that, but it doesn't stop. It says, be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You got to add that part on that text. Philippians 4:11 says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. Paul says, whether I have plenty or I have a little, he said, I've learned to be content. Then in Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then Philippians 4:19 says, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, let's put this together. The object of biblical contentment is not about things. The object of biblical contentment is not about having things and being satisfied with what you have, or not having things and being content. That's not what contentment is. Biblical contentment is not about having things or not having things. The object of biblical contentment, if you meditate on these scriptures, is the presence, power, and provision of God. Whatever state you're in, whether it's abundance, whether it's lack, it's not about the things, having the things, not having the things. No, biblical contentment is about the presence of God. He'll never leave me nor forsake me, regardless of where I am. It's about the power of God. In those situations, I can do all things. It's about the provision of God. Even though in my natural arena, there's lack and scarcity and want, I know that my God will supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. So biblical contentment means that I'm independent of outward, external, or natural circumstances. No matter what situation I'm in, that's not being satisfied with that situation. No, I know that God will never leave me nor forsake me. Since He's with me in this situation, He's going to help me. I know that even though I may not have the power, God has it, and I can do all things through Him that strengthens me. I realize that I may be in a situation where there's a manifested lack in my situation, my circumstances, but I know even in that situation that my God will supply all my need. So it is not complacency. Okay, just be satisfied with not having, be satisfied with living a substandard life, be satisfied with depending on the government to take, be satisfied. No, that's not what it's teaching. It's not teaching. That's not biblical contentment. That's complacency. Listen, I'm about to close, but I want to close with some five real points right quick. Now get ready to make a note of this. God can't afford it. That's what this episode was about. Come on, send that. Put it in the chat. God can afford it. Now, number two, if you can believe for it, God can afford it. Remember that. Number three, remember God can afford what you can't. There may be times when you feel like, I can't afford that. I can't afford no first class ticket. I can't afford to sit in these seats. I can't afford to sit that close at the football game. Okay. Remember, God can afford what you can't. It's eradication time. It's eradication time. It's eradication time. You have to remove from your vocabulary, I can't afford. Take it out, pull it out, discard it, throw it away, never say it again. Don't ever say it again. Don't ever say, I can't afford. Don't ever say it. Don't ever say it. Make it a curse word. Make it profanity to you. I can't afford will be profanity to you. You will never let it come out of your mouth. I can't afford it. Now, listen at this. Say this. This is a good thing. Say this. Not yet, but soon. When you come up to a situation, and let's say you can't afford it. Let's say you just don't have the money. Just say you don't have this. Don't say, I can't afford it. Say, not yet, but soon. Not yet, but soon. Don't say that's too expensive for my blood. Don't say, oh, that's for the, don't say that. Don't say that. Say, not yet, but soon. Come on, say that. Put it in the chat. Not yet, but soon. Not yet, but soon. See, that keeps the door open. Because we're not talking about going out and borrow stuff to make folk that are using your charge card and getting in all kind of debt to impress people. We're not talking about that. We're talking about releasing the power of God. And what I don't want you to do, I don't want you to prophesy a negative future. Maybe you don't have the money right now. Maybe in the natural, you can't afford it. Maybe it's beyond your budget or whatever. That's true. Okay. all I'm saying, keep the door open. Don't shut the door by talking about it, because death and life is in the power of tongue. I can't afford that. I can't afford to live there. I can't afford to give this. I can't afford to do. See, now you have shut the door and you have prophesied a negative future, because death and life is the power of the tongue. So rather than shutting it down, because one day you may want this. One day, what if God wants you to have it? Maybe you don't have a desire, but maybe God, maybe sometimes that desire will be increased in your life, but you done shut the door, prophesied it. I can't afford that. I can't do that. I can't do that. No, don't say that, sir. Not yet, but soon. You're not going to prophesy a negative future. Don't talk today and shut the door on what God can do for you tomorrow. You may not can afford it in the natural. You may not have the money. You may not, but God can afford it, and you're going to keep that in your head, and you're going to keep that coming out of your mouth. Not yet. Won't do it yet, but soon. Won't have it right now, but soon. Got it? So now you're opening the door, keeping the door open, because God can afford it. And remember what he said in Isaiah. He says, if you be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. The word good means beautiful, fine, and best. If you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the beautiful, fine, and best things of life. And God wants that for you. Maybe you don't have a desire for it right now. That's all right. Just don't talk negative. Don't talk poor. Don't poor mouth. Don't talk that. Okay. Just don't talk it, because maybe as your mind renew, you'll see that it's not just about you. You'll see that, or maybe you'll discover that God loves you so much and he owns all this stuff. It belongs to him, and he just wants his daughter or his son to share this life, because in heaven, there will be none of this. None of this. It's going to all pass away. So maybe God wants you to experience some of it right here in this earth, because you're certainly going to experience beyond our imagination in heaven. But if God owns it and he gave it to man, then maybe, just maybe, he wants you to experience some of it. Beautiful, fine, and best in this life. Listen, I gotta go. This ends this series, but I know if you'll go back and listen to this and listen to all episodes and just meditate on it, meditate and bring your words and your thoughts and your actions in line with the word, even though you can't see it right now, you're going to experience a life you never thought was possible, beyond your imagination. And when it began to manifest, I want you to let us know. I want you to give us your testimony so I can share with other people what God did for you. And then we'll cause others to their faith to grow. And so share your testimony. Let us know what God will do through your, or will, has done through your life, through what we taught in these 8 lessons. Well, listen, we'll start something else in our next episode. But look, I love you, and I pray God's best on your life. I pray that you walk in the fullness of this abundant life that Jesus bought. I pray that it manifests in your life, and you not only be blessed with abundance, but you be a blessing, a channel of blessing to others in the name of Jesus. See you next time.